Hello and welcome to the 105th episode of the GAK Guitar Shop Podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, who is joining me this evening.
Hello, my name's Jay. I'm the assistant manager here in the guitar store.
Hello, my name's Matt and I am the manager.
That is your job, that's true. And how are we both today, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Very well, sir.
Good.
Wonderful, wonderful. How's the shop been?
Busy. The last couple of days have been well busy.
Leading up half term.
Mate, I tell you what, today was one of the
busiest, I mean, I wasn't busy. Jay was very busy. Well,
I mean, today was one of my favourite days. I think probably one of my favourite days I've ever had working in the shop today. I sold some wicked guitars.
What did you sell?
I sold to someone on the podcast group.
You've done a lot of podcast groups.
There has been a few bits this week,
thanks.
But someone on the podcast group, I sold a custom shop Strat, custom classic with a rosewood neck, full rosewood neck, not rosewood board. I love those guitars, man. They're so cool. I also sold a Geosonic, a Gretsch Japanese Geosonic today.
Oh, yeah.
Fella brought down his Soldano, which we don't
amazing.
Sell, unfortunately, which is such
I love Soldano, man.
They're so good,
they're
man.
Brilliant.
Like, he brought that down and plugged it in, and oh, how good did it sound?
Amazing.
Do you know which Soldano? They have
Hot
great
Rod
names
50.
For it. Oh, yeah. Great amp.
That
what
was,
colour?
Yeah.
Blue.
Bluey purple, yeah.
You can get them in graffiti yellow as well.
See, I thought about this for I don't think I mentioned it last week. Custom shop Strat, custom colour over colour. I was thinking black over graffiti yellow.
Amazing. Well,
the Batman
speaking
Strat.
The Batman Strat. I still like your idea of egg burst.
A white outer with a...
I have to say, probably my favourite finish that we've ever had a custom shop Stratocaster in is in at the moment. The Lambert and Butler Stratocaster.
Oh, the black and gold.
Yeah, it's a black over Aztec gold.
Oh, Lambert and Butler.
Talking about
Lambert and Butler.
Talking about finishes. Graham said that yours is nearly done.
Oh, it really needs to be. Oh, speaking of which, I actually this almost
Graham's our guitar tech for the Graham. Other like.
Oh no,
anyone who isn't just the three of us.
Just
in the
a
room.
Random fella. Graham, you know that fella.
He's in the corner. Graham, keep it down.
I'm glad that he's nearly finished that guitar. It's a shame that that we're recording this podcast 3 days before I go, or 4 or 5 days before I go on tour.
Oh God, you're not gonna have it on time.
Of course, actually, I meant to mention that to you guys earlier because I need to buy a second bass to take on tour.
Do you just want to borrow mine?
No, it's on tour, dude. I'm going to Europe and stuff. No,
I know you'll look after it.
I will, but I'm not doing that.
You got a Hiscox case.
I don't. No, I lent it to Esben and the Witch. Do you know that band, Esben and the Witch?
Yeah, I know Esben and the
Witch.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I lent my bass case to Dan, and now he lives in Berlin. I don't think I was like, am I going to get this back? He went, maybe.
Does he?
Do you
live in Berlin?
Yeah, he moved to Berlin. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. Great band.
Really good band. Esben and the Witch.
And
they owe me a bass case, so if you're going to see him anytime soon, I'd quite
shows.
Like that band.
Yeah, I realised that because I'm kind of, you know, because I've kind of left Yamaha behind a little bit, and both of my Yamahas are in pieces because I was halfway through sorting them out, I've only got my jazz bass to take on tour, and because we play in two completely different tunings, I have to swap to a second bass at some point.
What are you going
to
get then?
I was going to get maybe something vintage modified, but annoyingly,
mate, just take my P bass. Take it.
Well, maybe
it'll
I will.
It'll sound
move
amazing.
This is so not podcast material.
It'll sound wicked.
Okay.
And
I might do.
It's already. I mean, I play it. Of course, it's not in mint condition, is it? Like, I can barely hold myself up. Of course, I can't. Of course, I drop my guitar. Like. It's fine, just take it, it'll be great.
Amazing, okay, I might do. Other than that...
Oh, wait, I play bass in a band now. I've got band practice. Yeah, no, sorry, you can't take it.
It's fine, I'm going to have to put something back together, I guess, or buy something vintage modified.
Yeah, because he's going to send me some photos, I think, because he's done Sunburst. He said the auto is... He's done it on a slightly lighter black, and he wanted to know how dark he wanted the auto.
Oh, brilliant, okay, yeah, definitely. That man's amazing. I'm so
maybe
excited,
I'll
man.
Use yours.
Oh, when yeah, you, we can do when that. You yeah. get... I wanted to get it a little bit relic'd, so yeah, that'd be great.
Goodbye!
other than that, how's the shop been? You buy anything interesting secondhand?
Oh, yeah.
I understand we finally sold my favourite bass that we had here, which was the bass that I presented at our one and only video podcast, our Christmas special, the Hofner, the actual German Hofner, the early 90s.
It was great. The guy came in and he when he came to, I was at the front counter, and when he came to pay for it, Krista, the bass guy who was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, went, "So yeah, we've got this this gentleman's buying the secondhand Hofner," and I went, "No, no, what?" And the guy looked at me as if I was like about to warn him off buying it, like, "No, you're making a terrible mistake." I was like, "No, like this bass is like an institution. This is part of our shop now. You can't buy this guitar."
I love that bass.
It was great.
It had been here for quite a long time, I think, for a secondhand thing, because I think it was £1,200, which I think is a lot of money for a violin bass.
Yeah.
By today's standards, I think at that sort of price range, most people are looking at, I don't know, Rickenbackers or Fender Deluxes, things like that. So you've
got to
be really...
And it's quite esoteric as well.
Yeah, like, you've got to be into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I'm really glad that it's actually gone to... Well, it was inevitably always going to go to a good home.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to part with £1,200 for a Hofner violin bass, you've got to
He was like, "This is a complete... I don't really need this, but I need it."
Yeah.
Like, it was great. It was really nice to be a part of, like, seeing that. Mm. And that, it kind of, like, makes it... It kind of, like... You know, it really, yeah, we have some stressful times here in the shop, but, like, you know, when something like that happens, it really makes you feel glad that you work here.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Has there been anything else interesting that's been in this week?
We bought in a Mesa Boogie King Snake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wasn't there any 5 of those in the country?
Yeah, and this one originally did come from us.
Yeah, someone bought it and then... sold it back to us.
Basically,
to buy 325?
Yeah. The guy he's one of our nicest customers. He's a really, really nice guy. He's really, really into gear. And he bought it from us. And he'd already bought one when he bought our one because he wanted to run them in stereo. And then he was just like, "These are too loud."
Aren't they only like a 112?
They're 112, but they're the heaviest combo I've ever lifted. And they're 100 watts of sheer insane power.
How can you have 100 watts
power?
For a 112?
It's phenomenal.
And another customer who's a guy, Steve, who's on the podcast, I said to him, I said, "Oh,
Steve, who's on the podcast, in the podcast group.
In the podcast group, sorry. I was like, "Oh, you know, you should buy that. It's probably the first snakeskin amp you ever own." And he went, "Actually..." I had a Soldano in the 80s, which is snakeskin.
Of course, Soldano did a snakeskin amp in the 80s. Fine. Amazing.
But yeah, that's one of the coolest bits. It just sounds amazing. It's filled with dark matter, and that just makes it sound amazing.
I did some reading on...
the speaker that's in it is completely custom designed. They've never put it in anything
else. You'd have to for a 1x12 that runs at 100 watts.
The Fillmore 100.
You'd have to, wouldn't you? Is there anything else? I mean, the Mark V's... go to 90, which I guess is more or less the same. But is there anything else that runs at 100? 1x12 that runs at 100 watts?
I don't think so.
I can't think of anything. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's someone at home yelling at us.
There's some... the speaker I've got in my 112 is 200 watts.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
Electro Voice.
Oh, right. That's a lot.
Yeah. They're renowned for being the most efficient speakers you can buy. Because the guy that... I think Steve Ray Vaughan, when he used his Dumble...
Who?
Steve Ray Vaughan.
Oh, sorry.
Steve Raven. Stevie Raven. when he used his Dumble Steel String Slinger, which I think was like 150-watt all-clean amp, went through like a 4x12 with 4 EVs because it was the only thing powerful enough to do it.
Mental.
Bloody hell.
Well, gentlemen, anyway, onto the podcast topic for this evening. This is probably... going to be our hardest podcast that we've ever attempted, because it is inspired by Rob on our Facebook group, and we have titled this podcast the...
Hang on,
can I even say what the title is? Am I breaking the rules?
No. I feel like it's like we can start and maybe end, but in the middle when we're talking about...
Yeah.
Podcast.
We can't say it.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's okay. Completely legitimate. So I can say the title and introduce the question, and then we have to stop from there.
Yeah.
So the title of this podcast is The Non-Fender Gibson Epiphone Squire Ibanez Billy Sheehan Podcast. So basically, Rob on our Facebook group said, this is a thought. Can the GAC crowd get through a whole podcast without using the word Fender, Gibson, Epiphone, Squire, Billy Sheehan, and Ibanez? It would be nice to have the other stuff you sell at the foreground. Give us the less usual suspects. So,
I guess that's where we draw the line.
We now cannot say Fender, Gibson, Epiphone, Squire, Ibanez, Billy Sheehan anymore. So, from here. So, the way I've put this together is I've come up with a selection of questions to pose to you two.
Are the questions, what are your Twitter handles, and then thank you very much? Is that...
Yeah, that would normally be all we could get through. But no, I've come up with a number of customer questions that you two, as Guitar Shop salesmen, are going to have to answer without mentioning Fender, Gibson, Epiphone, Squire, Ibanez, Billy Sheehan. Okay. Obviously, Billy Sheehan is not going to be hard for either of you. It would only be me that would say Billy Sheehan in a sentence. If we were talking about bass, I might mention Billy Sheehan. But other than that, I don't think Billy Sheehan would get mentioned on this podcast. So I think you'll be fine not saying Billy Sheehan.
Yeah, I think that might be the last time that we say... what's his name? I can't remember what his name is.
Billy Sheehan. Okay, I'm just getting him in while I can. I haven't actually put any bass questions on here because I thought...
in case you didn't trust yourself. No, is that what it is?
I just thought it'd be stupid for me to ask myself a question that was hard. So, yes, let's begin. So, first of all, chaps, I'd like to maybe talk about what options there are out there for a snappy single coil player.
What, I mean, he clicks his fingers a lot.
Yeah, that's right. He snaps.
He's like, I want it now. I want that tone now. Yeah, I want that real tone. You know that tone of that really
that
famous
tone.
Guitar?
Yeah,
I want that now.
He wants like those, you know, really snappy single coils.
Godan, do the Freeway? Is it the Freeway?
Wow, this is already off to a great start.
Damn it, I forgot the
name. Soon as you don't have the brats, you're like, oh, there is this guitar. There's a guitar, definitely. I love that Jay's got his iPad out.
Yeah, I mean, of course I do. But, like, the reason for it is...
Put in
Godan.
No, quick, find
I
out.
I can't say Ibanez. I was about to come up with an Ibanez. Like, we can't say that.
You can't say
no,
that.
No, that's fine. Okay, Dan Electro. I'm going to start off with Dan Electro.
Are they snappy?
I think they're snappy. They're snappy in a... What are we looking for here? What sort of snappy sound are we looking for? Because if you're looking for that single coil...
I'm looking for that single coil snap that there are two particular models from a particular brand.
See, Dan Electro guitars can give you that. I love Dan Electro guitars.
I
had a DC-59 and I sold it because I couldn't afford my rent 1 month. I still think I probably should have just gone without eating because I'd upgraded the tuners on it and had a really nice setup on it. And I sold it to a friend of mine whose band I see fairly regularly. And I'm always like,
he's still got it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I saw him a couple of weeks ago. I think they do that. I think they sound really, really top notch.
I have kind of put one of the harder ones first because I thought there are a lot of... Some of the other questions, there'll be plenty of other brands that offer this sort of thing. But when it comes to single coils, because I think single coils tend to be a more classic thing, I think generally the brands we talk about are the ones that kind of offer the most, I guess they are the most classic brands. And so as soon as we go outside of that, predominantly we're into
modern stuff.
So what,
are you looking
stuff?
For like a sort of funky type sound?
I would imagine, yes, that would be the sort of sound. God, I'm even really struggling to describe the sound without mentioning the guitar.
Yeah.
This is how bad it is.
Because you'd be like, yeah, it's, you know, that sort of like, you know, that sort of sound. That sort of sound. Yeah.
But it's just, and that's how much dominance they have over the market. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is as Rob says, and it's just that we are quite one-trick ponies with the instruments.
I would say maybe look at Line 6 Variax.
Yeah, I think so.
Or is that the cheat? Can we not mention
it? It's a little bit of a cheat, isn't it?
Because it is modelling.
It's modelling.
Okay.
It models the instruments that we can't...
The one that I was thinking about was the Godan SA, which is a three single coil guitar, which one of the guys, I don't think he's on the Facebook group, but I sold him another brand guitar. Only because he decided to go for something a lot more expensive than this one. This one's 775, but it's effectively three single coils, S style,
What style?
S.
Oh, okay. Fine. Okay.
S-style body with a C-shaped neck.
Burns Bison-style body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burns body.
Okay, fine.
Oh, there's a brand. Why didn't we mention Burns? Why wasn't that on our... Sorry, we're interrupting
Freeway SA. Three single coils, rosewood board, maple neck, five-way switching, and it's got mini toggles and a GR output for synth system.
Oh, sweet.
Does it?
Pretty cool.
Mm.
Right, so because a lot of the... Because there's quite a few Godan models that come with the what was that? Is it the synth access? Is that Godan?
Yeah.
That's a Godan. They...
I mean, we don't want to go down the synthesizer route too much because, like we're saying, it might be a bit cheating. Because you could just...
I was just sort of mentioning it.
You could just buy a Burns Bison and then stick a GK3 pickup on it and then just plug it into a GP10 and model all those great...
Sounds. Probably not the Bison, because the Bison is the Bison is like the big one, because they did the base of the Bison as well. The Marquee and the Cobra.
Cobra.
The Marquee and the Cobra are the two sort of standard
Brian
models.
Brian
May as well.
That'd be a great one.
I don't think that's particularly... really?
Because...
Not especially snappy, though.
Well, because you've got on and off for each pickup, and then you've got in and out of phase for each pickup. So think of the different options you can have. Like, think of all the sounds on all the Queen records that all come from that one guitar, apart from Crazy Little Thing Called Love, which comes from
someone else's guitar.
A T-style guitar.
A T-style.
Well, that's what they're called in the world of people who make copies.
I don't think you're allowed to call them that.
I don't... Yeah, no, you are. Everyone does, though.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to.
Well, it looks like a cup of tea.
Okay, so we're saying that we think Dan Electro for the lipsticks, but I think kind of Burns would kind of bless you. I think Burns are kind of the obvious brand
What about ESP?
Well, ESP
going for like one of the ST212s.
Yeah, I think
that was like something that I thought of. I was thinking of the TE version.
You could go for the SC 308 or whatever it is, the 8-string Stephen Carpenter baritone 8-string.
That's great for
a snappy single coil sound. 8 strings with active EMG.
Take out that 8-string EMG and just pop in like a
T-style pickup.
one of the bare knuckle.
We can't do this.
One of the bare knuckle Blackguard pickups.
We're really
great.
Struggling. I was surprised you didn't mention ESP from the start, but I assumed it was because you'd read the rest of the questions and realised that they kind of had more of a reference later on. But
hadn't read the rest of the questions.
That is absolutely
that's cheating.
Fine. Let's move on to the next question. Gentlemen, budget options for something that will pack a big fat humbucking punch.
Damn, I was like, what about the...
And come on, I really come like... On, this is the easy one. I gave you an easy one second.
Big fat humbucking punch.
A big fat humbucking punch. We just spoke about a brand that predominantly make things with
humbuckers. Yeah, ESPs. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, that. Like the obvious... I think the obvious one to go
EC401.
Is one that is... Well, oh yeah, budget. I was thinking of the Eclipse. But yeah, the EC401.
Jay's budget.
The Eclipse.
Minted Jay's budget. Hello there, I've got £1 million.
I'm just on a limited budget. I don't want to spend anything less than £1,000. The EC401, great guitar.
Because they do a Seymour Duncan version and an EMG version.
And an EMG version, yeah, absolutely.
Schecter.
Schecter do some great guitars.
Schecter are owned by ESP now.
Are they?
Are they?
Yes.
ESP.
You don't look sure now that we've questioned you.
I'm really surprised that both of you have turned to me. I'm sure that that is the case.
Either that or we're about to be shut down by...
Either that. I definitely think that is the case.
Oh, okay.
Definitely
Schecter do some great guitars. They do like a... What's the... Is it the S1? That's the S1 is like the
Matt,
sort of...
No, what?
Yamaha Pacifica 112V.
Oh, how did we not think of the white Yamaha Pacifica?
I tell you what, there's a question later on where the only answer is that, but...
We'll come to that.
Is it the one about hollow bodies?
No.
Humbucker, coil tap, two single coils, snappy, fat humbucker sound. We've got one second hand.
That is pretty cool.
Keeping back on track, Matt.
Schecter S1.
Schecter S1. It's great. It's like a double car.
It's not just great. It's blooming brilliant. It's an absolutely wicked guitar. It's like a double cut Les Paul.
A double cut what? Sorry?
No, I'm the question asker.
No.
That doesn't count because right. I'm asking the
Who's
question.
Who's going to keep tally?
Great. One
yeah.
Joe.
Right, yeah, look, there's some okay. post-it notes over there. You should
just
keep
write it down here. Okay. One to Joe. So, I've got 1 point.
Joe.
Great radio here.
Yeah, I'm just writing.
So Joe's got one.
Just so you know, I'm writing one next to Joe's name for everyone who's listening.
Damn it. Right, okay. So you've got one black mark against your name.
But it's a really great looking guitar.
Double cut. It's a double cut. I really like him. I'm really into. I really like Gordon Smith. And anytime we've had Gordon Smith guitar
They've always been great.
They've always been great, and I've
How
always
do they
toyed
do it for the money.
Well, they look like they're in trouble at the moment, aren't they? Did you see the company got put up for sale?
What?
Gordon Smith got put up for sale.
Oh, that's gutting.
Yeah, it's really bad. They I mean,
are you sure it just wasn't a guy named Gordon
no,
Smith?
No, it was
sale?
it was the Gordon Smith Electrical Guitar Company, and now that you haven't heard of this, I'm starting to backtrack a little bit.
I just wonder where you and Joe are getting all your information. Mark, that just.
Down the road, sabotaging like, us. Yeah, talk yeah. about this. No, I think I read that Gordon Smith are going that are like up for sale, and that they haven't really been doing very well.
That's
financially.
A shame.
It is a shame because they are great guitars. But and this really this I mean, it's probably down to the fact that there are companies like Schecter making great. I mean, you know, Gordon Smith guitars are in terms of how they look, they're not blowing anyone out of the water. You know, they're nothing that you wouldn't expect to find from. Another brand producing.
What other brand?
I don't know. There's a bunch.
Damn it! I need to score a point.
But the Schecter S1, I think, is a really cool looking double cut guitar. I think that would pack a real good punch. I can't remember how much they are. 500 quid, something like that.
Mm.
That's a really cool one. EC401s. I mean, can we bring Rickenbackers into this? Is that like that's not really a mid-range?
It's
like
not really going to have fat humbucking punch, though, is it?
I mean, I guess it depends on which one you go for.
I mean, it's more like sparkly, clean jangle.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's Rickenbackers are a good answer for the first question, but maybe not for this.
Oh,
one.
I didn't ask him for the first question because I had read as far as the second question. I haven't read as far.
I only
as
read
the
as far
question.
As what options?
Okay, fine. Right. All right. So. We'll move on to the third question then. Minimal spend for something with a maximum classic feel and look.
Oh, minimum spend for something with a Washburn.
Oh my goodness, you guys are going in an odd direction, but yeah, keep going.
Washburn.
This was such a setup for a particular brand, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, but no, really? keep going.
I'm going with Washburn HB34.
They're the hollow bodies, right?
They're the hollow bodies.
Oh, someone hasn't read ahead.
Oh.
Keep going.
Yeah, but if you want something classic, like maximum classic look and feel, I'm talking Marty McFly playing at the school dance.
Yeah. That's very cool.
That's what I'm talking about. Because I don't want, like, it's difficult sounding too abstract, like, but because I want to say what it is,
we
what it looks
it.
Like, but like I don't want to get a black mark against my name because it you know, the I guess the thing is that the reason that we go back to these reference points so regularly is that it offers, you know, it's easy for, you know, we're around guitars all the time, we know what most of these numbers are, lots of people don't, so I don't think it's, you know, I'm giving an answer of a Washburn HB34 here, mm-hmm. and I think maybe you should be scrubbed out
is
as well.
Is it definitely HB34?
I'm sure it's HB34, and it's you know, it's like that sort of big. Like 335 style. I don't think that because I'm not answering.
Could have said hollow body.
But no, because there's so many different options for hollow body. You know, I think this is fair. I think like giving an answer and then explaining what it looks like, I think is fair.
Okay. Half a point. I tell you what. I'll give you guys some guidance. I set this question up actually to talk about the other big classic brand that aren't these two. Gretsch.
Yeah.
And who I think are, yeah, I guess we don't give them an awful lot of limelight, but they are a massive brand and one of the only other brands, because you think we're excluding two big brands and actually a third quite modern brand from this. And we're sort of grasping around and we're thinking of companies like Washburn, like ESP, and the other brands that we're talking about tend to be modern brands, whereas there is...
Yeah, I mean, Gretsch have been Gretsch a company. When did Gretsch form? I mean...
1880...
You don't know.
You definitely don't know. I'm going to look up.
It's 1888.
I reckon it's 1836.
1898.
Why do you make these wild guesses?
Because I'm competing.
It's 120 something. It's 120 years ago.
It's 1883.
Oh, I was so close. I got the 18.
Damn it.
There was a 3 in what I said.
I mean, I was
1883. But yeah, I mean, you're right.
Imagine, it's like someone out there must own like an... Because what did they make in the early 1800s?
Didn't they?
Was drums
yeah,
what
was
they started
drums.
With?
They didn't make guitars back then.
But do you think someone's got an 1800s Gretsch drum kit somewhere?
Fred Gretsch.
Dude, they weren't drum kits, were they? It was when they started.
Like big band stuff.
No, it wasn't even big band back then. They were those
triangles.
Just triangles, yeah. No, they were kits for sound effects for silent films.
Really?
That's what they were. That's how the drum kit started. It was a complete kit for people to...
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Friedrich Gretsch, who started the company, aged 27. So I've still got time. You boys are...
Right, that's it. I ain't going to start a company like Gretsch
Friedrich Gretsch manufactured banjos, tambourines and drums until his death in 1895.
Brantanamo Bass is on its way, by the way.
Wait a second. What's it say? What's that line there, though, Jay? So in 2003, Gretsch... Sorry?
What?
Matt, you need to use your microphone.
I was just trying to get Jay to read a sentence, so slip.
What are you talking? Oh, I see. Okay, right, okay.
I was trying to...
FMIC.
So, anyway, so...
Is it that late that they got brought under the FMIC wing? I didn't realise. 2003. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is quite late. So, back to the question. A minimal spend for something with maximum classic looks. What do you think Gretsch have to offer Because, of course, they recently, very recently, introduced the Electromatic range. So in the last decade, and I mean that gave a whole new arm to Gretsch, because all of a sudden they weren't this unaffordable sort of premium line.
I would
brand.
Say for me, one of my favourites. I'm going to stay away from the big hollow body thing and say more of a kind of maybe more classic kind of look that might be similar to others. Be like the 5655T, which is the project with Bigsby, because those. You know, those Filtrons they put in there can be very humbucker-like, but they've got quite a lot of twang like a telly.
Oh, 1 point. Yeah, come on. That's 1 point each.
And they've got the Bigsby, which is great.
I really like the CVTs. I really like the Corvettes.
Oh, yeah?
I think
what's the Corvette? What is spec-wise?
So the Corvette is... It's like it's a very basic solid guitar style. A very basic kind of solid guitar style. But it's...
On a lot of guitars, solid.
Yeah, but very specifically has solid guitar.
Very specifically, this one is solid.
and actually, no, Matthew Knight, not that many Gretsches are solid. And this one happens to be fully solid.
Also, the great thing about those CVTs is they have American TV Jones pickups in them.
That is cool.
Do they?
There's another brand that use those quite a lot on Bits and Bobs.
Not American
recently.
Ones. Not American ones.
No, really?
Ooh, no. They're their own brand ones.
Oh, yeah, of course they are. From the custom shop.
Except to the custom shop.
Okay. except on the custom shop,
That's true. I'm surprised that you didn't mention the Gretsch that you used to own.
The Stump-O-Matic. Well, that's what the CVT is.
Oh,
yeah. Is it?
Yeah, it's that shape. Yeah.
It's that shape.
But the Stump-O-Matic had an extra pickup.
CVT's got 3 pickups.
Oh, really?
That's basically a Silver Sparkle CVT.
I didn't realise.
I really like the... whose was the green one?
G Lovin, the special sauce.
Yeah, that was it. G Lovin.
That's his full name. He's his full official name.
What? No, it isn't. No. that was a cool guitar.
Hi there, my name's G.
And you Lovin, the special sauce.
Lovin, the special sauce.
Okay, boys, next question. Combo amps with a crystal clear, clean tone.
Easy.
Hit me up.
Orange.
Sorry.
Crush Pro.
Start again.
120.
Orange are not the brand that you go to for crystal clean, clear tones.
You obviously haven't plugged in an Orange Crush Pro CR120.
Here's one for you. Laney.
Yeah.
Lionheart. 20H.
Yes.
Basically, you don't want that other famous little black box of amp goodness. You want something else.
That Lionheart series is wonderful.
And yeah, really you can't stretch that, no worries. Because lions have cubs. And they do the little cub.
Oh, they do the Cub 12, which is basically a great replacement for another amp that we think is quite good.
They do, right, so you can buy the Cub head.
Yeah.
For £219.
Isn't it 12 watts?
Yeah.
But really loud.
And they do the Cub 2x10 cab for £139. It makes a wicked mini.
We got these into the shop today. No, yesterday? Today. Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. We got them into the shop. It was either yesterday or today. I can't remember.
You guys are good.
Thank you. It was either yesterday or today we got them in the shop. And I say we got them in the shop. I was looking through stock and I happened to see that we had them in stock and I was like,
I saw the empty
box. Oh, did you play through one?
Maybe I'll buy one of these.
Have you played through it yet?
No, I've played through the combo. The Cub 12 is really good. I'd love a Lionheart
because the Cub 12 R.
They do two. Reverb. They do a Cub 12, the Cub 12 and the Cub 12 R.
And they do also do an 8.
They do. 10. They do a Cub 8. Well, the 8 has only got volume and tone.
Quite like that.
Really, it's just a little bit too small for me, and I don't think that the 12 is that much more money. I really like the Cub 12 R.
The 12 R competes with the volume of other popular brands.
Yes, yeah, it does, and it's like half the price.
I'm surprised you didn't try it out and plug your what was your guitar?
what the Dan Electro that I used to have, or the Gretsch that I used to have?
Right, fine.
So, but you sold those for
rent. To continue living in my house.
Fine, we can't win.
Touché.
Touché. Okay, cool. So we reckon that's so.
I reckon, unless you want to spend loads of money and buy a Mesa Boogie.
Yeah, Mesa Boogie Mark V. If you don't want to spend the money on a Mesa Boogie Mark V, the Express. I think the Express.
Well, we've really started shouting about that recently.
The little rectiverbs.
I still think. I probably would say the Express is better. They are more money, though,
I think. I disagree.
I really like I really like the Expresses. I think they are really top. Sorry, I'm.
Are you okay there?
Yeah, I got caught in the moment.
It's an express way to good tone.
Yeah. You're awful.
That's why they didn't put me as the marketing guy for Mesa Boogie. Yeah, we've called this album the Express. What could our tagline be? Express quick tone. Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely not a job that you could move into. right, next question is hollow bodies that sound as good as they look.
Go down Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. Oh, with the P90.
Cognac Burst.
Banging.
That is a great guitar. Not what you'd, you know, sort of go for a standard with as a like a hollow body. You know, it's not like a.
I just nearly mentioned.
See, this is where I thought you guys would mention Washburn a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the Washburn HB. I'm sure it's the 34.
I'm sure it's 32.
Like the kind of the 20s style, the ones with no horns, the complete sort of acoustic body shape, single pickup in the neck.
Yeah, the
that's 32, isn't it?
I'm thinking of is the one that I like. Let me have a look, because they do one in a finish that is distressed matte.
Oh yeah,
and I really think
it's 32.
It's a really weird.
Are you sure it's not 34?
It's such a weird.
It doesn't matter what it is.
It
doesn't matter what it is.
The finish looks like flooring.
I really like it, and I really like when Matt gets like really stressed in the shop. I'll just go and get the HB 30, whatever it is, hook behind.
If I'm having a bad day, it's HB 32. If I'm having a good day, it's Nitro. Anything Nitro fitted.
Matt Nitro.
but for me, that question opens up Gretsch a lot more. It's obviously They look incredible.
Tim Armstrong Hellcat.
No, that's acoustic. Acoustic. Oh,
yeah, but they do.
It's just the Tim Armstrong.
Oh, is it Man Salmon?
Man Salmon.
They do two finishes. Cool. They do black and they do Man Salmon. But actually, I think they're being discontinued.
Yeah, I think so as well.
It's a great shame.
It's only, from what I understand, they're only going to be doing the left-handed models, but they will continue to have a right-handed Bixby on them. I'm sure what I've read. I mean, I might have made that up, but I'm pretty certain that that's the case, which is a bit odd. But
that is.
Hmm.
But yeah, Gretsch do kind of represent an awful lot of the hollow body market for anything.
Those 50. So I used to have a 5125, which was the Electromatics are the well, they do a bunch of the Electromatic is kind of the it's the Korean build. Are they Korean? Yeah. They are Korean, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's the Korean build. No. So it's, yeah,
are
they are.
Indonesian?
No, they're Korean. I think maybe some of the hollow bodies may be Indonesian, but the bulk of them are Korean. And they're like sort of the quote-unquote budget range of the Gretsch guitars. You know, most of the big expensive ones, the your Falcons and your Penguins and your Country Gents and that, they're all still built in Japan. And the Korean-built stuff is the Electromatic. And they all come with the prefix is a 5 rather than a 6. So like the Chet Atkins is the 6120, whereas most of until recently the sort of standard model, which was based on the Chet Atkins, was the 5120, and I had a 5125, which was the same guitar, but it had Diamond single coils in rather than the standard Filtrotrons.
Oh, that's amazing!
Yeah,
Diamond single
coils. Yeah, it was a great guitar, really really great guitar, and those pickups recently reemerged. On the short scale guitars.
You nearly
did. I did nearly. On the short scale guitars produced by one of the brands that we're not allowed to talk about. And that doesn't matter because but Diamond kind of got bought out by Guild, I think, was what happened. And yeah, those pickups just got rebranded. But they were really, really great pickups. They look like wide range humbuckers, but they're not. They are single coils. Anyway, I had one of those and it's quite interesting looking at trying to pick apart the the product codes on it. This is so lame. Pick apart the product codes on Gretsch models. Like, so the big ones are the 5120s. 6120s, then the cheap ones are the 5120s and the Diamonds were 5125. Anyway, that's sort of a complete aside. That is irrelevant. What they now do is instead of the 5120s, they redid them as the 5420s. These came out, 3 years ago? About three years ago? And I just think they absolutely wipe the floor with the old 5120s. It's only aesthetic differences, but the big thing they did was they bound the inside of the F-holes rather than leaving them open. Because I always thought they looked a little bit unfinished and a little bit crap. And now they bind them. So, like, if you're looking at one of the orange ones, you've got the cream binding around the edge and then the cream binding around the inside of the F holes. They just pop out at you. They look incredible.
Yeah. They are consistently well finished.
Sorry, that was a mixture of being really boring and really nerdy, that whole tangent there.
That
was
great.
Apologize.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Next question, boys and girls. Single pickup guitars. What are my options?
Haven't we already covered this for the person who's looking
for
this?
No, not single coil pickup. Single pickup guitars. One pickup guitars.
Oh.
What are my options? I want a guitar with just one pickup in it.
Yamaha.
Oh, yeah.
812. Is it the 812?
1820?
It's not, but yeah.
No, I think I'm sure it's the 812 that's just got the one Seymour Duncan P rails in it. It's got
P90
humbucker and single coil.
I can't remember. I think it's something like the 52V or something like that. But
sure. What's the 812?
But there is. I don't know. But yes, you are absolutely right. As far as I'm aware, I put this one in because I thought, wow, this is hard. But yes, I think
Yamaha do AC, and those guitars are brilliant.
I don't know.
You could just type Pacifica in and you'd find it.
Is it a Pacifica?
But they're great.
They are great.
Because I mean, Yamaha Pacificas are amazing, and I mean, yeah, admittedly we really don't chat about them enough. But like the 112Vs are just like an awesome guitar, and they're an awesome guitar to modify because they're not a lot of money. They come with good parts, and everything else just retrofits on them.
Yeah.
And then you can go up to those, which are fairly expensive, but they've got like the kind of flame veneer top, solid. I think they're like mahogany body, or they're like something similar to that with, you know, a proper rosewood fretboard.
So abstract.
Yeah.
I tell you what I want: single pickup, Dan Armstrong. That's what I want. Dan Armstrong Plexi.
Yeah. I mean, they were wicked. I don't know if they quite count as single pickup because you could take the pickups out and put
that's
in
so
the other one that comes with them.
Yeah, but it's still single pickup. You can only have one put in at any one time.
Talking about single pickups, we saw a great one today.
Did we?
Yeah.
Well, me and Matt did, but we can't talk about it. Don't worry about it.
Should we talk about it? Because I'm going to cut it off at the questions point and then we can talk about them again.
No.
We have to.
No,
to,
that's
to answer the questions, we will have really
bad
answers.
I'm just saying, no, we're just not going to talk about it.
Oh, okay,
you've missed out.
There you go, Rob. You've done yourself out of hearing about this great guitar.
It's really cool.
Okay, next question. We'll move on quickly because I don't think there's any options for that. I was hoping you guys would get tripped up by it, but you weren't.
Too good.
How about this? I love relicking. What can you point me towards?
ESP.
Oh, there you go.
So
what do ESP do?
They do a Strat and a
Tully. Oh! That was two.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Mark them off. And give Jay one. He can definitely have one for saying that other modern idea.
He gets one.
Okay.
Everybody gets one.
Okay. Yes, that's right. They do. They also do a bass.
Wait, it's those Hoffner shorties have only got one pickup.
That's true.
Somehow I don't think that. Oh, I suppose it is an option. I thought it was like for a rocking tone. I was like, they're great guitars. They are. I sell so many of those, and they're just awesome guitars.
Yeah. The Hoffner shorties. Do we sell lots of them?
Yeah. People always, because they're next to my desk in the window, and people always like, can I have a look? And I'm like, these guitars are amazing.
The sparkle green is one of the coolest finishes ever. So what's in the bridge? Is it, well, in the body of the guitar? Is it just a humbucker?
Yeah,
that's really cool. It's a great idea, isn't it?
So
they're full scale length. They don't. They're short scale, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, basically.
Are they not?
No, they're 25 and a half.
If you want.
Same as what?
Yeah.
that's good, isn't it?
Yeah. If you want like a Marty McFly guitar, as in a true Marty McFly guitar from the start of Back to the Future, then I guess.
Yeah. Didn't he play Steinberger?
No, it's an Aria.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he said. What was the guitar he played later on in the film?
It looks kind of like an HB32. Yeah.
Distressed Matt.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay. So sorry. So what do ESP do in that way of things?
They do. We talked about them earlier. The S style
and T style. Yeah. You can have that. But they've started doing relicking, essentially, the same as another company does in their custom shop.
It's only on the E2 models, isn't it?
So No. They do it on the LTD range, don't they?
Do they?
On the, but it's similar to how other companies used to do it when it used to go through a stencil.
So like the Joe Strummer signature guitar.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
And the Roadworn series of someone.
Yeah.
So it's something like that. Okay, right. I don't think I knew that, actually.
It's because you're not the best.
Yeah.
Well, I am clearly the best.
Yeah, I'm just the rest. But I can probably step up.
We'll see.
But yeah, they do... So what do you mean by like a stenciled type thing? Explain that for people who might be not used to seeing
relicking from a custom shop. I don't know how they do this officially, but I was told that it was done to keep all of them uniform because of the... I think the time it takes to do a relic like exclusively and different for each one would take far too long. So it's kind of like, you know, it'll be like a stencil that's raised and lowered at certain points that'll go over the body shape and then, you know, they'll sand it down, but the stencil all...
I'd love to see that machine.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's how they do it. I don't have no idea. I thought it was like
It's not a sticker, is it?
I don't know.
I remember at one point, I think Total Guitar gave away some stickers in the early 2000s.
Really? Like, so you could relic your guitar?
Something like that. I remember like there was the rage of like getting a certain body size shape sticker that was like flames or skulls. So they went over the whole body at point.
I remember that time. Yeah.
I think you probably put one in your bag.
No, I didn't. I tell you what I was doing at that time. I had a blue a Sparkle.
I know you keep mentioning it. And OLP. I keep telling you, you shouldn't have sold it.
Yeah, yeah. My Blue Sparkle OLP Stingray, which I had at the time. I got my first job working in a McDonald's on a motorway, and it was when
really
yeah. It was when Toy Story One had just come out, and the Happy Meal.
I don't think I was even at secondary school.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't have been. I'm much older than you. The when Toy Story had just come out, and the toy you got was a Toy Story toy. You also got a page of Toy Story stickers, including the little green people and Woody and Buzz and all of that. And I just nicked loads of those and covered my base completely, so you couldn't see a single bit of blue sparkle in the stickers of the little green alien man.
Wow,
yeah. That was it.
How much is that base worth now?
I gave it away.
How much would
to
it
someone
have been
on the gear exchange? Because they were looking for an OLP neck. Cause it was just because this is the same base that I later refinished myself
in
at my dad's car
forest
garage.
Forest green.
Where it's more like
fence post.
I think
green.
It was called. I think it was called sage green or swamp green, something like that. It was probably Jeez, the worst
don't,
color.
Don't
of all
spray
time.
Your guitar this color green.
Yeah. This is. There's a reason that there are no guitars you can find in this color green. Green. Yeah, it was
the
good.
Francis Rossi guitar. I nearly went for it. The Francis Rossi guitar. There was an official Francis Rossi signature, wasn't there?
I don't know.
Or was it? Is it just a lot? No, I'm sure there was.
We had one in once. Remember that someone?
Yeah, I know. Well, that Francis Rossi has got a T-style guitar, which he refinished himself. And have you seen pictures of the
no
so the Francis Rossi T-style guitar is he's moved there's a big hole drilled the entire way through it up on the where the pickup selector switch would be on a crikey, this is oh man, how can you describe this without dropping yourself in it?
A pickup selector switch on the upper horn.
On the upper horn, yeah. So you know how that would normally be there, whereas on a T-style guitar, it's down below
the
bridge.
You might have it on the lower butt of the body.
Apparently, Francis Rossi went, I don't like my pickup selector switch being down here by the bridge. I want it up here. So drilled a big hole all the way through it. And then as soon as he was done, went, oh no, this is a bad idea. I don't want it up there. Just left it where it is. But he left the hole there and never filled
right,
it in.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he refinished it with fence
in
post
fence post green.
Paint.
That's right.
But yeah, we saw someone came in with a Mexican standard T-style guitar
that they
turned into a Francis
and
Rossi.
And they even drilled the hole.
Yeah. It was cool. It was cool.
I don't know if that is. Oh dear. Right, okay, next question, boys and girls. I'm looking for a heavyweight classic single cut rock axe.
Heavyweight single cut classic rock axe. I mean, isn't this EC401s again or Horizons?
Yes. Yeah. I think so. I think you could also point people towards a brand that we've been accused of neglecting.
PRS.
PRS.
PRS, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Tremonte.
The Tremonte.
I'll tell you what's great. The Zach Myers single cut they do with the F-hole cutaway.
Yep.
Dual humbucker, hardtail.
Yeah, that's a cool guitar. I out of all of them, I really like the Bernie Marsden. I think the Bernie Marsden signature is cool.
What's the Bernie Marsden?
It's, what was that series? The 245? 245.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on his
59. His 59. He's got a 59. A guitar, a very expensive guitar from the year of 1959, of which you can buy a reissue of that would be a lot of money. He's got one of them. And that's what the... Because I'm sure it's a 245, because 245 relates to the scale length, doesn't it? Because it's 24.5 inch.
Yeah.
And those, because I don't think they'd ever done anything that was 24.5 inch scale PRS, but the I don't know, I could be wrong, I'm not sure what the custom 22s and custom 24s are, but the I really like the 245s. I think they're really, really cool. They are like big rocking boomy guitars. Like again, the Tremonte is very similar. Personally, I think I preferred the aesthetics of the 245s. I think they were, because they were a bit more like the guitars that I own, I guess, is why I was
Sunburst, flame top.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah, very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah. I would have thought of them as being the obvious alternative to the major brand that this question points towards. And yeah, that's totally true. We do tend to neglect them in favour of the other major brand that we talk about an awful lot. And I don't think that's very fair, because they are great guitars, and they make great guitars. And they're, as I can't remember who it was who pointed them out on the podcast group. Probably, well, it would have been someone who owns one. I can't think who owns one. Doesn't Mick Dodd own one?
Don't know.
I'm pretty sure he does. Well, I can't remember who pointed it out, but someone on the Facebook group pointed out that we don't talk about PRS enough, and also pointed out that they are perfect, because it was in light of the podcast a couple of weeks ago that we did about session gear.
Yeah.
And it was in light of saying, well, surely it's the guitar that feels like, oh, damn.
Halfway between one and the other.
Yeah. Yeah, halfway between two things that we can't discuss tonight.
Yeah, so. We probably should have mentioned that. I guess, you know, that's where the podcast group comes in handy, because it does give us a chance to be like, oh yeah, that was didn't we think of that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, next question. What are some of the best supers?
Oh! I thought you were going to catch yourself out on your own question. I read that a second ago. I was like, Joe, is that good?
What are some of the best HSH or HH style double cut?
No, that's S-style. Not modern. You mean S-style. HSS, don't you?
Well, I would have thought HSH, really. Really?
Really? How many HSH style guitars can you think
or
of?
Or HH at least. Sort of.
I think it comes back
HSS
to...
HSS maybe. Okay.
Yamaha Pacifica for me.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go for one of the cheap budget ones. You can go for one of the more expensive ones.
What about Charvel?
I was going to say, this was Charvel, kind of... I was kind of queuing up for the other company we can't talk about.
Well, Charvel, Kramer.
Yeah.
I really like some of the Kramer models. The Kramer Pacer is... you can get that in Tiger Eye. Is that what it's called? A Tiger Stripe?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just called Tiger.
Kramer do
Tiger.
Some
Kramer
cool
do
stuff.
Some great guitars. The Pacer is very cool. A very cool. They do some like budget stuff, and they do some like, you know, not so budget stuff. But the Kramer stuff I think is very, very cool. That would be, I think, probably for me, if I was going to go for a Super Strat. Does that count? It does.
Oh,
doesn't
it does count. Yes. Give me
my pen.
Sorry, it's here. If I was going to go for a Super S-style guitar, that's cold. then I would say that I'd probably go for a Kramer. I think they're very, very cool guitars.
Yeah.
I think they tread the line very well between being a very nicely between being like a heavy metal guitar for like someone who wears a cardigan. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like I could probably play a Kramer and like it wouldn't be too odd. I really like them. I think
they're
cool guitars.
They do a bass guitar that me and Krista really like, actually, which is surprisingly high quality for what it is. Now, I can't remember the name. It's not the Kramer Demolition or the Kramer Desolator. And Krista's going to be sitting listening to this podcast going, no, it's this. But I can't remember Krista, so you'll have to let it go. But anyway, there is they do this great bass guitar that's something like £300, and it comes with an active EMG pickup, which it's a Music Man style. So a Music Man style EMG is already sort of in excess of £100. Yeah. It's only a £300 guitar. Yeah. It's made out of solid mahogany. And just everything about its spec is really high end. Like the bridge on it is massive and really substantial. Just everything about it is brilliant. And Kramer for me have always been that company that just seemed to be very good at making really inaffordable stuff with really surprisingly high spec.
Mm.
And almost getting missed out because their name isn't as big as Charvel.
Do you know who they're owned by now
Jackson.
As well?
Who? I don't actually. Yeah, I don't. You'll have to tell me.
Oh, I can't remember. It's someone big in Nashville.
Right, I see.
But yeah, also along those sort of lines, the Charvel. Charvel have done some really cool guitars in recent times. You know, they were the big in the sort of 80s and, you know, big for that sound, that like EVH sound? Type sound, you know, like I think that's fair to say, isn't it? Like they're very along that sort of line. Some of the Charvel stuff,
actually. But surely with EVH, surely we had a Charvel option with the single pickup guitar question as well.
Oh, of course we did. Yeah, the EVH guitars. Yeah, yeah, the Wolfgang. No, it wasn't the Wolfgang. Not the most recent one, was
no.
it?
No, the one before.
EVH, well...
Weren't they just called the EVH Stripe series?
And, yeah. And they did the Circle
The Circle,
series.
But did they have a name or was it just the Stripe series? I think it was just a Stripe. That was a cool guitar. Hmm. Very cool guitar. But the Charvel, what was it? The Des... What was that Charvel? The Desol...
What, the Desolator?
The Desolation was the... Desolation was the two... pick up single cut humbucker.
Yeah, and then but they also do the what they call, instead of calling it like an S style, they call it the San Dimas style.
The San Dimas and Sol Cal as well.
Yeah, yeah, which I mean that kind of just points to one place in Baja California, I think, doesn't it? You know, it's I don't know what they make there, but yeah, the Charvel San Dimas stuff, and of course you know the elephant in the room, the Charvel the Guthrie Govan.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, what a great guitar. What an absolute, like...
The best.
Just an absolute monster of a player's guitar, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, I think that kind of wraps up the question. So, gentlemen, you have made it through the challenge of the... And we're out of it now. So
we're out
I can
of it
say
now.
It.
Okay, fine.
You've made it through the challenge of the non-Fender Gibson Epiphone Squire Ibanez Billy Sheehan podcast.
So Matt made three errors, I made two errors, and you made one error. Although one of my errors I caveated with saying I didn't think it counted as an error.
Yeah, but having...
But by saying that made you realise that it was an error. It
definitely was an error.
Okay, fine.
Hey, none of us said the brands, we just said the instruments, so I
the
think
styles.
That's quite good.
Yeah, I think yeah, that's yeah. quite good as well.
Yeah, that's all right. These were only half points, so technically I got half a point, you got one, and you got one and a half.
Cool, I'm happy with that.
Regardless, Matt, you've lost. We'll figure out a suitable punishment soon.
It makes you the biggest slave to Fender, Gibson and Ibanez. Yeah, you should place it. Yeah, that's true. Leave. right, which moves us swiftly onto the questions part of our podcast. So let's have a look at some questions for this week. Okay, Matt on the Facebook group. All these questions, by the way, come from our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group. And Matt on the Facebook group, not Matt Knight, but a different Matt, says...
Matt Nitro.
Matt Nitro says, can anyone recommend a good set of Tele pickups? I have a Made in Japan 62 custom. The stock pups are a bit thin sounding.
Bare Knuckle, the Boss set.
Why on earth would you take my answer away when you know that's what I'm going to say?
Because Bruce Springsteen's the best.
Yeah, absolutely
He's
he is.
The Boss.
You know, I saw Springsteen about 5 years ago, maybe a little more, maybe six or seven years ago, at the Emirates Stadium, which is the Arsenal ground. And I tell you, I felt like I was behind enemy lines.
You went to the Arsenal ground?
I did. I went to the toilet, and it was obviously in what would have been the home end. And I was like, maybe I should... No. He was so incredible. Mm. The best bit about watching The Boss was not actually watching Springsteen, but it was it's such a shame he died just a couple of months ago. Watching Clarence, the saxophonist.
Yeah, it wasn't a couple of months ago, dude. It's about a year ago now. He's put out an album since Clarence has died now.
Really? Is it that
yeah.
long ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Wow. Well, okay. Yeah. I hadn't realised it was quite so long ago. But he when Clarence wasn't playing, he had a throne at the side of the stage. It wasn't a chair; it was a proper throne, and he just sat at the side of the stage, just looking out at like the 100,000 people or however many people there were at the Emirates stood on the pitch watching him, and he was just going, these people are here for me. The Boss, I think that pickup set is like, it sounds incredible. That whole Blackguard series,
yeah,
I think is well worth a look. They do the 51, I think it's just called the 51
set. I think they do a 51, they do a 51 staggered, yeah, slightly different pole pieces, yeah, for yeah. a different bass response.
And that's a really cool set, but I think the one to go for is
If you want a really fat sounding set of Tele pickups, that's the one to go for.
Yeah.
Agreed. Chris on the Facebook group says, what's your go-to Swiss Army knife all-purpose guitar? I know none of us can have or would be satisfied with only one, but if you could have just one, what would it be? I'm going with the Les Paul Junior.
That's like the least Swiss Army knife of any guitar ever. It's literally one pickup that's like... I suppose the thing with it is, like, you can roll off the volume a little bit and that, like, it, the P90 is working a slightly different way to most pickups where, like, you roll off the volume a little bit and it, you know, it cleans up a little bit, sounds a little bit thinner, but...
What would you
I mean,
for,
I love...
Fender Deluxe HSH.
Dave Murray Strat.
Dave Murray, no. Dave Murray. He always sounds Australian. He's not.
Dave Murray. He, you know, the Dave Murray is, they've reissued the Dave Murray. And it's now, I need to put, sorry, I've been holding the guitar and sort of quietly playing it, Joe. Can you take it off me? Yeah. Okay, that's, you're done with that.
Okay.
The Dave Murray has been reissued. Previously, it was an American-built HSH guitar, and they're now doing a Mexican version, which is just a SSS, I think.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But, that, I mean, you know, in terms of... It's not what I'd necessarily play, but in terms of the ultimate Swiss Army guitar, I think that's come pretty close.
Yeah, that's a great guitar. I mean, I think if I was only allowed...
Did you just go for an ordinary Strat?
If I was... What?
HSS, Shawbucker Strat. No, just, yeah.
If I was only allowed one guitar ever, I think it would be...
Les Paul Junior.
I don't know. Would it be my Les Paul? Would it be a Tele? I don't know. I don't really want to have to... P-Bass.
All purpose. Just tune it up.
The P's. Just tune it up.
It will take it. P-Bass takes anything.
Just if you're flying, just slacken off the strings a bit. It probably won't. That probably won't handle that. Tele. I'd go Tele. If I could only have one guitar for the rest of my life, it'd be a Tele.
I think a Tele is the obvious option for something that would do everything. And for something that you see on every stage. Yeah. I mean, so many other guitars are bound into certain things and occasionally branch out. I mean, I think a traditional single coil Strat is quite bound by the sort of people that can play it, Clapton and et cetera sort of thing. But occasionally, branches out in the hands of people like Simon Neil from
Biffy Clyro, Tom DeLonge, although his was pretty modified.
It only had an Invader pickup. It was a Strat body. That doesn't count. what a ridiculous guitar.
That was Graffiti Yellow, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Strats, I think, are quite limited. Again, Les Pauls, I don't think you see them clean up very often.
Paul Landers Ramstein. That had two EMGs.
What about the Sully?
That doesn't make it versatile.
What about the Sully Erna Les Paul with built-in flanger?
Built-in flanger control. Okay.
Changing pickups in it and adding switches doesn't make something versatile.
Flanger does.
Yeah, that's true. Flanger does. Flanger makes everything better. Okay, gentlemen. Last question for this podcast. Will says, okay, guys, out of the Digitech Drop and the Pitchfork, which do you think sounds better for tuning down a couple of steps? I'm not particularly bothered about the ability to blend signals, so I'm only really bothered about the clarity and tracking.
The Digitech Drop.
Why do you say that?
It does sound much better if you're just using it as a regular detuner.
Well, I think
I think if you want something, the Pitchfork's great and it's much more versatile, but it has got a little bit more of a digital edge to it.
I agree. I tried to use the Drop as something to avoid me having to switch between basses at shows, and it isn't quite up to that.
Yeah.
Only because you just lose some of that organic feel.
Yeah.
So just be aware. I think there is nothing still or will ever be that will replace just retuning.
Yeah.
A couple of steps is a long way, but if it's what you standardly tune in, just stick 13s on and drop it. But that is my answer. Anyway, gentlemen, that concludes our rather lengthy podcast. So thank you both very much for performing as well as you did in your effort to not mention any of the major brands that we have
I think we did all right.
We did. For 2 whole years, we have spoken about nothing other than those brands. So I think for 1 hour-long period of time.
We talk about Strymon every now and again as well,
that's
I suppose.
True. We didn't mention any pedals this week. That's true. Not really. Anyway, yes, that brings us to the end of our podcast. So thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. You can, of course, continue to find us and ask questions and give us information for this podcast on our podcast group on facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group. You can also get hold of us on our website, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/GAK Music, or on Twitter at GAK_co_UK. You can also tweet me personally on at Yosef_900. Jay Cross, how can people get hold of yourself?
Shoot me an email, j.cross@gak.co.uk, or my Twitter handle is JAYBN1.
Excellent. Now, Matt Knight, how can people get hold of you?
So, really importantly, you can get hold of me on Twitter at Matt_Knightsy. That's Knight with S-I-E on the end. Or you can email me at matt.knight@gak.co.uk, or you can find me on the Facebook group. From all of us at the GAK podcast,
cheers.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.